Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys. We have only three, I was going to say all three stupid, but there's only three of us here tonight. Russ has didn't get a chance to watch the episode, so we basically didn't invite him to the show.
He didn't do his homework.
Didn't do his homework, so that your punishment is, he goes, well, I can come on. No, sorry. If you can't watch the show, then you can't be on the podcast. Am I right?
No fun time. I swear. If you didn't do your homework.
Yeah, he's in timeout. So, I think he went away for the weekend, and just didn't have time to catch up.
Hey, it was Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of people got some turkey, visited family. So
I fried a turkey, and it was okay. It wasn't the best.
Mike, do you guys eat turkey down in Miami, or just chicken?
Of course. Who doesn't eat turkey on Thanksgiving? I guess vegans, but yeah.
Walkers don't eat turkey, I don't think, do they, on Thanksgiving?
Turkey. I didn't even text you like the sauce I put on top of it.
That's right. Sauce.
What kind of sauce you put on top of it?
Salik barbecue sauce. Spicy barbecue.
On top of your turkey?
Of course.
So you cook it. So when you're baking do you bake the turkey?
Yeah, it's oven cooked.
Oven cooked. Yeah,
once it's finally come out, that's when I put the sauce on.
Ah, okay, because we fried it for the first time. I liked it. Jay thought it was the best turkey he's ever had. But I'm like, with all the work it goes involved in it, like especially the cleanup, I guess we didn't inject it. You have to inject it with this. I've learned a lot since. So the next time I cook a fried turkey, I'll be more prepared.
Seeing Instagram pictures, Jay was drinking a little bit of wine, so maybe that might have been why it was the best ever.
That could have been it. He might have had a few glasses of wine, so it made the turkey look better. But, you know, speaking of turkey, if you like this show and other podcasts, like, say, The Broadcast of Married Man, Dancing with the Stars, which just concluded.
Westworld. Oh, my gosh. I'd love to talk about Westworld, but instead we're here talking about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it was an amazing episode. Westworld just been amazing. I mean, you can't say enough good things about it. Survivor, Mike Ramble caught up on Survivor. The Ramblecast, yes. Just thousands and thousands more. Become a patron at patreon.com/JandJack, or you go to jandjack.com and become a patron there. Little button says, become a patron. I think we're up to 151 people, 152 people, whatever it is. Also, we are now affiliated with Amazon. You go to Amazon, go to jandjack.com and make the homepage. Click on it. The homepage is make our Amazon page, your homepage, whatever I'm trying to say.
And there's a link there.
There's a link there. Click on that. And every time, if you normally shop on Amazon, and who doesn't? We get a little piece of it, So if every little bit helps, and
throw your pennies our way.
Yeah, throw your pennies our way, and we'll
rate and review us on iTunes. You know, yeah. So it always helps out the show, gets us up in the ratings.
And some people complain if you ask for 5 stars, but I don't want to ask for 4. So I don't want to ask. I'm not asking for 1, 2, 3, or 4 stars, but I'm not going to ask for 5. But I'm not asking for the other 4 options.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you guys a 5-star on the Patreon level podcast that you get. When you do become a patron, you get an extra podcast. So for the month, and so this last week, anything but politics, which you guys kind of skirted and danced around it, and got into actually talking about Christmas lights, which I wanted. I don't know why, but as soon as Jay started talking about C7s and. I've got C9s, and I was just putting up C9s, so I was like, I totally know this. This lingo.
Well, so you know the lingo. I just call them lights. LED. I get the LED lights because I like the LEDs, but I don't know the names. I mean, just they're lights.
I don't memorize them, but I picked up on the lingo over the weekend because I was hanging lights on Sunday, avoiding all of the horrible games that were on Sunday. In my broadcast area, none of the games were that exciting. It was like Tennessee at Chicago and Arizona at Atlanta and then that Jets New England game. It was just like bore snooze fest. But we'll get to sports talk at the end. We're actually here to talk about The Walking Dead. And before that, I wanted to also add to the Christmas light thing because what I was saying before the show is that I kind of side with Jack and Jay on it, like the frustrations that come with
It's ridiculous. And every year we add more, we buy more stuff and we add more things. And so I'm getting all the stuff out today. I got some of the stuff. I got the, I don't know if you, what part I was talking about was the icicle hanging lights we have.
Sure.
And I plug them in. They all work. I put them up. I plug them in. I go, why is this last section not working? I go, oh, are you kidding me?
That's so frustrating.
So I go to Home Depot today, and the lady was so pleasant. I said, excuse me, do you have – because she was stocking, and I had to wait for her to get – she wouldn't move as she's stocking the shelf. So I waited until she was finished, and she goes, excuse me, do you have these in LED? She goes, everything we have is right here. I said, so I'm going to take that as a no since I don't see them. And she's kind of looked at me. I go, okay. And I turned around and walked away. So I go to Lowe's, and they have one box of white LED hanging icicle lights. So I buy them. I put them up. I go, God, these don't seem as long as the other ones. And so I plug them in. I go, these aren't even – they're not white. They're yellow. What?
Oh, no.
So now I'm ticked because it's I'm looking – what am I going to do? I can't find them. Well,
you don't want to be that.
I know. So I take the piece, I take the string down, and I find the light that's not working.
Oh, and you did.
I found it, it's just loose. So I'm trying to get it in there. So I was going to tape it up, but then digging through my other stuff, I found another. I found some more lights and got them up.
Yeah.
So for now,
a win.
For now, they're working.
Well, I was on the roof putting those roof clips on and, like, you know, doing the due diligence while I gave my daughter, you know, she's 9 and she's just like, she wants to be up on the roof helping me. And I'm just, yeah, you can't be up on the roof. So I give her the choice because at some point I'm like, hey, she's not going to be around wanting to help me for very much longer. You know, I'm going to be begging her to help me. So I was like,
oh yeah, you will be.
Yeah. So I just was like, you figured this area out. Just do something. So anyway, we got the lights up. She kept talking about it at the end of the day. She was like, you know, those people that just project the lights, it's really lazy. When you do the hard work, it's worth it. So that reminded me of the podcast as well. So if you want more Christmas lights talks, tune into the, you know, become a patron, tune into the Jay and Jack patron monthly.
Well, it's funny you mentioned kids helping, because when you buy the lights or you get them all, they're tangled. You know, and especially the icicles, you have to stretch and stuff like that. Can we help? Every year, can we help? Yeah, I need someone to untangle these lights. And they all look at me and walk away. Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. They want to go on the roof. They want to do what they think is the fun stuff. That's not the fun stuff. It's not the...
It's the part where I could die, okay? I'm up there and I'm thinking, this is how I go. This is
my neighbor's like going, what are you doing up there? He goes, I wouldn't go up there. I go, I'm insured.
Yeah.
He goes, no.
My neighbor is giving me a hard time. He's like, don't give my wife any ideas. Just don't. Yeah.
So now he's calling me Clark Griswold because they just put up a row of lights on their rain gutter, and I've got all these decorations. I go, I'm not even done yet. Okay, Clark.
I don't want to bore Mike with all of the Christmas talk. But where do you fall on inflatables? You know, do you like the blow up inflatables?
It seems pretty easy, like, to put up. I approve.
You approve. You like, you know, like some people go crazy with them. Like it looks like somebody just massacred their lawn ornaments when they have them off.
Yeah, I've wanted to get a couple of them, but family has voted it down. They don't think the inflatables are the way to go. We got little tiny little Santa Claus last year and something else, a little tiny one, but they kept blowing over and.
Oh.
We had them on the roof, and they kept blowing. I don't know. It was just a pain.
My wife was this close to buying. Sorry. She was this close to getting some big, huge arch, you know. She had the Christmas fever. What were you going to say, Mike?
I guess you guys go more out for Christmas than Halloween, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably also, yeah, I don't know why, but yeah. We do decorate for Halloween, actually, but just not as much with the lights.
We have some, but my wife likes it. But I'll do the Christmas, but I don't want to do the rest of the year.
Well, it seems like you get like a little more creative with Halloween, whereas like Christmas is like good though with all lights. It makes it look like good.
Do you guys decorate down in Florida?
Yeah, because it dips below like 70 just degrees.
They just dress up like Slash on Halloween.
So. We dress up the palm trees. I'll post an Instagram picture tomorrow or something of the palm trees that are lit up.
We just got a family of snowmen, and I it's so bright where I have them. I told my wife, I go, God, I hope it snows this year. So there'll be snow on the ground with those snowmen. It would look so cool.
Right. That's what you dream about.
I don't think it's – seriously, I mean, it would look so cool with the snow.
I thought the same thing while I'm up on the ladder. I'm like, gosh, I hope it snows so this looks really cool.
Because you probably you have a better chance of snow than we do
on Christmas. Yeah, we do get some, but not often. So it's really special when it does snow on Christmas. So yeah,
we've had one snow on Christmas since we've been out here. And it wasn't a heavy snow, but it was just a light. And it was just the coolest thing because, like Mike was saying, living in Florida, growing up at San Diego, I wore shorts to Christmas. You know, it's like because when Colleen, when they had their first thing, we kind of bickered and complained because they wanted us all dressed. I'm from California. I wear shorts and a t-shirt. That's what we wear. Back when we Skyped our family in California, they're all in tank tops and t-shirts, and we're in dress shirts and all this stuff. But
yeah, it's like a tradition to go to like the beach, like on the kitchen or go to the beach on Christmas Day.
Yeah, it's like they had the polar bear. Was it the polar bear thing where people dive in go in the cold water?
Right. 20 degrees or 10 degrees.
Sometimes that water got down to like 65. It was cold.
Yeah.
You do that without a wetsuit. That's rough.
That's some rough stuff. I mean, I hear that when you hit the water, any type of water, you usually just kind of pass out and you wash up on shore.
Yeah.
Anywhere. It's called a segue. Some people ride them around.
That was a great segue.
And some people use them in podcasts. I swear by them, and so does this episode. Anyway, to segue into you know, The Walking Dead, what we're here to talk about. What did you guys think of this episode? Liked it, loved it, hated it, trashed it?
You guys go first.
I gotta say that I've been crying for just begging for a Tara-centric episode since we first were introduced to her character. I said, we gotta have it. We gotta have a Tara-centric. I'm not going to say they're dragging on this season, and you know, just right. they got some cool new characters. No, I don't want to see them. I want a Tara-centric episode because I need more of that. And can I just ask this question? Because I'm trying to remember because we haven't seen her in like six seasons. Was she always a smartass?
Yeah.
She was?
Yeah, she was.
Okay, then I apologize. Okay.
I thought you were going to ask, where were the roller skates this episode?
And I know I'm being kind of negative. I didn't hate the episode.
Sure.
I just didn't need a whole episode of just Tara. I thought we were going to get more of the of what
yeah,
else
you, went wrong. And you, I didn't just, want, I, you didn't want the adventures of Tara and the Ocean Seaside quest.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Adventure.
I didn't really understand. The point of the episode was maybe that they shouldn't be killing everybody, I guess.
That's a good... Yeah, I think that is the kernel, the little nugget that we can kind of draw from this.
I said it wasn't a bad episode, but it wasn't
right
at this late in the season when you have Negan, who I think is a very interesting character.
Right,
and we've
maybe they intentionally like positioned this over Thanksgiving weekend. They're like, people will be traveling. If they miss the Tara-centric episode, they'll be all right. They can catch up.
Yeah, this show, unfortunately, I think is going to just drag out so long. It's going to Dexter, and it's going to Dexter.
Is that a clinical term now?
That's what I call now. I call shows that just go on too long. I call them Dexter now. Shows that were once great, and you just kind of go. I mean, this show started with such great momentum, I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to be negative. I didn't hate the episode.
Sure.
But it's obvious to me what they're doing is they're going, okay, we got to stretch this out. We don't want to kill Negan off now. We got to, at least when we come back, because there's only two more episodes left, right?
Yeah.
And then they come back when?
Yes.
February or March?
Yeah, usually it's right after Super Bowl.
So when they come back, it'd be like, you know, then they can get back into the whole thing again. But I don't know. It was okay.
All right, Matt, you're up next.
Oh, okay. All right, Mike's put me on the spot. I liked it. There were things about it that were enjoyable. Things that felt kind of like, did this need to be 50 minutes? And I think that, again, if you're watching the TV version with commercials, you know, it could really drag. And some of that scenery could have been condensed, I guess, somewhat. So I think if you tell the story as basically in a little kernel where they're out scavenging, she falls over a bridge, she wakes up in Oceanside, and these people rescue her, and she escapes, looks for Heath, and then goes back. I don't know if the flashback back and forth necessarily worked as strong as if we just knew that she fell over the edge of that bridge. And then we came after the title sequence. I understand that the director and the storytellers probably wanted that pizzazz of waking up and kind of introducing new characters, and I get it. But so I liked it, didn't love it, and I didn't want to recap it. My text to the guys.
At least you showed up unlike some other hosts.
That's true. At least you made
an effort.
I did, and you know, I did take some notes, you know, this week. But my text earlier to the guys was, "Do I have to recap it?" And Mike made me swear that as long as I didn't have to. Yeah, as long as I don't take a bathroom break, I don't have
that. That did make me laugh, and when I was at work, I saw that. I go, "Oh, that is funny."
So, I liked it, didn't love it, and I guess one more note before Mike gives his opinion is I just would like to say that I feel deja vu because I think it's the structure of the 16 episode season, the 8 and 8. I think that we always get to this middle two episodes, and it's like we get this way. We're just like, man, it's dragging on. And then we get to the last two episodes, and we're like, yeah, that was pretty good. Okay, we'll see you next time.
They leave you on a good cliffhanger.
Yeah. I don't know if Mike's frozen up or if he's doing the mannequin pose again.
Oh, no. Hopefully not.
Okay.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're moving.
Mike, all what right. did you think about it?
Drum roll, please. I liked it.
Can never, you know, if I was the bet, I said, like last week, Mike's going to hate this episode. Mike likes it.
I don't know if it was in a good mood that day or what. I didn't mind the episode.
Didn't you hate the Daryl episode?
Well, because it was so focused on the blonde-haired guy.
Right. Yeah, he hated it.
His name was.
Okay.
I already forgot. But I don't know. I like being introduced to like this new group of people that's going to help take down Negan eventually. Mm-hmm. Probably like the end, like May or June, we'll find out like the takedown group.
No, because what's not Rachel? What's the girl's name? She'll say, "No, you can't kill him. You can't kill him." And Negan will just smack her head off with a baseball bat.
I think it's Cindy.
Cindy, yeah, Cindy.
I don't know why you couldn't remember that name.
Well, maybe just because I wanted to. But no, she'll jump in front of Negan and say, "No, we can't. No more violence." And Negan will just go, "Lucille."
But I liked finding out that they already had run-ins with the Saviors.
Yeah.
And that was how all the guys got wiped out, because that was sort of a mystery for like the first half of the episode. Like, why are all these women by themselves? Like, what happened to the guys?
It seemed weird. When I'm watching it, I thought it was like Planet of the Apes. Like when he's watching, he's looking at this thing, and it's like a different world.
Or the broadcast.
Yeah, broadcast. Yeah, he's watching the broadcast. I go, well, first, there's no, you can see there's no men. Oh, this is weird. At first, when she first is on the beach, when they're walking on the beach, I go, are we like on a different, are they like a different island? Are they on an island or something like that? Because they, right. They call them bobbers, right?
Right. Bobbers, yeah.
Rachel called them bobbers. Then when we see Tara laying there, I go, did she get on a boat and crash on an island somewhere?
Well, right. I mentioned this like every couple of weeks, but it felt like a Lost episode. Like, you like mm-hmm. wash up, you like zoomed in on like Tara, like on like lying on an island. It just felt like they were copying Lost a little bit.
Could be, but
yeah,
you got Rachel, the crazy kid, who just wants to kill people with her stick, which I guess is, you know, she's doing what she's told to do.
She's a Shandy of the.
That's okay. That's an interesting analogy there.
Sorry, Shandy.
That was Mike who said.
I doubt Shandy listens. I mean, what I hear, she's a huge Walking Dead and sports fan, but she refuses to listen to us. So
everybody loves sports.
Just a guess. So. I like to surprise my students that I teach drawing to with my sports because they just don't expect it. So, you know, sometimes I get these more jock like, you know,
we don't expect it. And you're on the students. Podcast.
Right. I know. Yeah. And I really don't even talk about sports. So but yeah, we were discussing.
So Mike liked the episode. Game. You liked it a lot, right, Mike?
Not a lot, but I don't know. I didn't mind it.
Out of 10
maybe my expectations are so low for like these middle episodes of like Walking Dead. I know like this is like the long.
You know,
season. Like,
you know, you it's like conditioned.
You know, it's like it's going to be usually so bad, like so slow. But I was a little surprised, like an hour into it, I'm like expecting it to end. I'm like, wait, there's another 15 minutes of the episode. I thought this had been over by now.
Like I said, it wasn't bad. It just was kind of like I didn't need a whole episode.
Right.
Of you know, like she flips Rachel off, and I'm like going, and the whole time right. I'm thinking, I go, luckily she was smart. I was expecting any moment for Tara to just get a bullet in the back of her head. I go, she does know that they're gonna take her out there and shoot her.
But they're like James Bond villains, like with their shooting skills.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Even the opening sequence where you know, so Tara wakes up and she has the fish, you know, which yum, you know, water, fish, a spear. Mm. Hello, I'm in love, you know, that's what Tara is. You know? It's like, if only I knew that my girlfriend was dead. But I mean, this girl's really providing for me. No, so she wakes up and she kind of tails her back to the village. Well, she's immediately found, right?
Right.
Like it's like she's watching them running to get the guns that they're going to use on her.
And she doesn't react right away.
She's like, oh, that's where they keep the guns. Good to know. Where are they running at?
I have a question.
Me.
If Negan had, if they had a run in with Negan's group and they killed all the men, why did they leave them all the guns?
Maybe they scavengered. The guns in like more the meantime. Guns.
Well, I know they did move. They went to a different they changed locations.
That's correct.
But they sure found a lot of guns.
Did. They have a lot.
And they don't know how to use them.
And they have them locked away in a nice special place.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had no qualms of opening up like just multiple fire. I mean, they like blew through so much ammo trying to kill Tara. As she's running through the, and I think that lends to the Planet of the Apes kind of feel to it, and also that beach scene. You know, it feels otherworldly with just kind of.
I just want to like broadcast a little bit. Not all women are apes. Like I don't know where you guys are going with like this Planet of the Apes stuff.
Yeah,
you guys go a little far like here. Like
that's not what I'm implying. Wow, you're way.
It just had that vibe. Mm-hmm. That Planet of the Apes, because the music was kind of Planet of the Apes type music.
I just want to let Shani know I would never compare women to apes, like Matt and Jack are doing. But
if that's what people want to believe, I'm cool with it. No, but it just had that kind of, the music was like that. It was like when Charlton Heston's looking at and he sees the apes walking around and Tara's like looking, going.
Okay, now Jack is really doing it.
But seriously, it was like Planet of the Apes. It had that vibe to it.
Maybe we can come up with another movie version, like Prisoner. Like
when Tara gets grabbed and she says, "Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape." That was the part that really threw me. I said, they are ripping off Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, they
and then the apes didn't realize that Tara could talk. They're like looking at her going, and like, oh, she can talk.
So then they invite her to dinner and try to teach her how to eat properly. No. That's
when
not
you try
how
to do that
eat.
Married Man broadcast crossover, Shandy will say, "Yes, we can talk. Women can talk."
One thing that I wanted to note, and we're kind of jumping around this episode, and I think this is a good kind of way to break up the monotony of maybe, as I mentioned to Jack before we started, when I rewatch and recap, it's like I'm diving into that episode another time. And then when we talk about it a third time, it's like, oh, like I feel almost weighted down by it. So I'm glad that we can kind of joke about it, but I do have a couple notes. There's some tattoos on Tara's hand that we see at the very beginning. And they are Roman numerals. They are, the first line is 23.
They are ripping
that's
off
your, one of your bingo numbers. Yeah. If that's one of your bingo numbers.
She got tattoos for Biling.
Yeah. Wow. Way to connect the dots there. Yeah. When she was in Thailand. The second line, 13. The third line is 22, and then the fourth line is 9. And then there's a fifth line, but we can't really see it, but we know that it's there. And they're in Roman numerals. So make of it which will.
What do those numbers mean?
They can't be kill marks, because why would you not ascribe to a hatch system if they're kill marks, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They're actual Roman numerals. So it's like, oh, I killed 26 people now. It's like, well, that's easy to add a one, or, you know, an I, you know, but it's like, what happens when you get to 30 or Super Bowl 50? What happens when you reach that many number of kills? So
they did zoom in on that. So they wanted you to think about those tattoos.
Yeah.
It's not like she had them like real life, like, oh, look. It's cool. This actor has like tattoos on her arm. We're gonna check them out right here now.
Has she always had them?
We've never really noticed Tara before in the show, so
she hasn't been on for like I think 9 episodes or something like that. So it's been a while since we've seen Tara. So, she left. You know, she knew basically very little of what was going to happen with the whole Negan storyline. So it's kind of interesting that she gets a different perspective on Negan through these other, through this other group. I agree with Mike about this idea of seeing another culture or another civilization and how they're kind of operating, how they're getting by, and they've adapted the code of basically kill. Like, you can't trust anyone, so just kill everyone.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how like all these groups join up, because we got like the Hilltop, you got the group with the tiger, I forget what their name is now, because we haven't seen them in like a month.
The Tiger Claw. The kingdom is where they're at with the
kingdom.
Yeah. So.
Well, the problem is that Tara swore that she wouldn't say anything.
Yep, they're done. You never see them again. You'll never see any of these people again. You'll never see those guns.
But if she swore, then at the end you see her with Rosita.
It wasn't the right time.
And she says, "Yeah, I'm not into killing anymore. I got my seashells. Sorry."
Mm-hmm. What if Cindy comes looking for her? What if Cindy's the one that decides to like, hey, it's worth it. I'm gonna go because.
Well, she's gonna sing "Give Peace a Chance."
She did bring the message of the story, right? And right. As Jack, you mentioned it, which I thought was pretty well put,
right?
As far as, you know, that's like, well, what is it for? You know, why? And I think that, and how it plays out, and the fact that they hit that story beat at the end with Sasha, and maybe that's why it was just not the right moment, not the right person. I mean, she's hearing Sasha saying like, you want to get them back. We have to get them back. We need this to like make it even. and he or she just had this great
oceanic. You mean Rosita?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Sasha. I'm sorry. I meant Rosita. Thank you. But yeah,
I just saved you a bad review.
Well, you know, had I written out the,
you know, Jack's big question was like, why was this 75 minutes long?
I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, you're saying about how, you know, she did say, you know, because, you know, Tara says, well, they were bad people. They were really bad. We had to kill them. And Cindy's like, really? You had to kill them? Kind of like, really? You had? Why do we have to keep killing everybody? Even though she lives, even though the group she's in will kill anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a good person, bad person, you're going to be killed.
Well, then she worded it differently, like saying good people were put in bad situations or something. I feel like that's something like Matt wrote down. I mean, would have if we watched it twice.
notes. sorry, Mike.
Don't we're three super guys tonight, so
we're missing our most valuable player, our MVP, Russ the Canadian.
What about the roller skates?
Hamburgers. Do you think the governor's
involved? Do you think they're actually following her the whole time? Do you think Negan was following her?
We kid you, Russ, and it's not fair because you're not here.
Yeah, you're not here, Russ. But I would say it if you were here.
R.I.P. Russ. anyway, back to kind of breaking down this episode or this story. One other note, I guess, that I had was about the fact that this Oceanic Six.
The Oceanic Side.
The Oceanic Side of the camp, Camp Ocean, is seen in issue 139 in the comic books. And to give you some perspective right now, they're basically dealing with the storylines from 103 to 111. So that, and they haven't even been introduced to the people. They've only kind of seen it from afar. So it's not something that's really prevalent in the comic books. So it's kind of interesting that they're moving some storylines maybe along a little bit further, or maybe they just want to make this all out war between all of these groups mean a lot more when it does happen. So
anybody giving us reviews, don't say we never did research. Matt over here doing comic book research over here.
Exactly. You don't get that on every podcast.
Well, and the last song that ends the episode, I can't even say the name, but it's by Dirty Three. It's called Everything Is Effed. So anyway, those were my few notes. Oh, and Heath. We can kind of talk about Heath a little bit as far as what happens with him. Because we're kind of left with...
I think he probably got picked up by Negan's guys, right?
Well, what do you think about that little...
So what do you think, Mike?
The little tease at the end.
The little tease at the end.
At the end of the episode where Tara is finally walking across the bridge. She sees, like, a walker dressed up in the clothes. Has dreads. Oh, right.
Yep.
That was total BS? Like...
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the fact that it took you a second, you know? Because I had to take a double take, and I was like, oh, wait, this is a woman. This is not.
And this woman's not covered in dust.
No.
Right.
She's recently died.
So
she just happened to have like almost the same exact clothes.
Was she wearing the same clothes?
Pretty much the same shirt.
Yeah, same shirt, yeah.
Hmm. So you think that they put that on? But how would
we know? Well, no, I think it was just... The Walking Dead, like...
I think it's Walking Dead. They were just messing. Walking Dead messing with us.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
messing with
Do you
Tara.
You think the governor did it?
All right, Rust.
Okay, well, there is one little clue that's left behind there. Triple P.
P-P-P.
That's a kind you of down, a weird...
You down with P-P-P?
You down with the P-P-P? Is it a kind of a weird coat check card, right? Oh, did you lose somebody? Here. Here's a card to, like... You know, when you get to, you know, return your roller skates, you know, take this tag Triple P with you.
And what does Tara say? I hope you made it. Something like that.
Yeah.
I hope this is you or whatever it was. And because he sees the tire tracks, I'm going to say that he was picked up by Negan's guys. He's probably listening to that song right now, eating dog food sandwiches.
Easy Street.
I don't think he's dead. I mean, what would be the point of, well, it's The Walking Dead, but what would be the point of dragging out? Either he's dead or he's not dead.
So this is another elaborate prank by the Saviors. Like, I'll snap. We're going to get Tara right here. We're going to dress this walker up in the clothes of her friend. Oh, she'll be all right, so surprised. I'm saying
you know, we probably won't see Heath until the next story arc episodes that we come back to, right? I mean, we'll get nine episodes out.
We'll get the Heath-centric episode.
Yeah, in about nine episodes. So join us back in March.
The best scene in the show was when she comes back to Alexandria, and Eugene's there, and Eugene's he's just a beaten man. He's sad, and she knows that things have gone wrong. And to me, that's where the episode should have ended, not with her talking with Rosita.
Yeah.
I didn't need that she was going to, you know,
That she honored her agreement.
I figured she would. I just thought that was where they should have ended the episode. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the best scene of the episode without them even saying anything, that she comes back, she realizes her girlfriend's dead.
Yeah.
That they didn't succeed in taking out the Saviors. And yeah.
That's a pretty strong argument, because you could even say when you come back to her, you can even have that conversation still occur.
Yeah.
You know, and you can still fulfill that promise. You can still fulfill that so that you know, like, oh, she kept her word.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, okay, yeah, she kept her word in this episode, but what happens when she caves and tells Rick and 10 episodes from now?
Right.
You know, then swear doesn't mean anything.
No.
You know, or as I like to think of, you know, I think that, you know, or maybe Rachel comes hunting for her. You know, that little girl, she had quite the killer instinct. And after she
put
her bird, I mean, she might be wanting some vengeance.
So I'm sticking you with my stick.
Did she reach your approval, kid actor? Usually you hate kid actors, Jack.
I usually do, but there's some good shows that have, like, there's a show that's on Tuesday nights. Was it This Is Us or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. And the kid actors on there are fantastic. So, but I only called, she was okay.
So you wouldn't kill her off?
I wouldn't kill her off because I'd be afraid she'd come and hunt me down and kill me. But
stab you with a stick.
But, you know, the writing was on the wall for Tara when she's walking out and the girl just spits in front of her.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, what's up with that? And nobody slaps her and says, hey, you don't do that.
Right. That's pretty good. I mean, I like that Tara – I mean, I did like that kind of action sequence as because it – I don't know. I'm probably more like a Tara. I'm like, hey, yeah, everything's cool, man. And then all of a sudden you're like, what? You know, and you're running through the forest while people are shooting at you. You know, I just think that Tara probably would have gotten shot and probably died.
So,
but, you know, she's lucky. She's a lucky girl.
But if they wanted to kill her, why didn't they kill her when she was chained up? Or did they want to find out more about Alexandria?
I think they were trying to snuff her out because she didn't take the deal. I think it was kind of like okay, you didn't take the deal of staying here, so sure, you can go on your merry way. Take our two guards with us. Oh, they came back 2 days later. Guess what happened? A walker attacked them and Tara died.
Yeah.
Or they come back and they're like, oh, yeah, sure, Cindy. Yeah, we took her all the way there.
And she's safe. And she swore she wouldn't say anything about us.
It was a double cross.
Yeah, once that happened, and once when Rachel spit in front of her, Sydney wasn't going, and there were two people taking her to the bridge. I knew she was toast, or she was probably going to be toast.
By the way, I did like the fact that this the group of women, or the leader, I don't have her name written down, sorry, but I like how upfront she was with Tara.
Yes,
like, and that she also kind of called her out on, like, look, a larder's not a ship. And, you know, I mean, and she should have called her out of like, hey, you're on a fishing vessel. Why don't you like fish? Like, I'm serving you fish and you don't like fish. Like, you're scavenging on a fishing boat.
Why would you say a fishing boat?
Yeah.
She washed up from sea, so. There's only so many ways wash up at sea.
Okay, all right. That's
she needs to spend some more time on her detective, you know, skills, I guess.
She came up with a better, you know, we were on a boat looking for fish. I don't know.
But how does, and this goes back to, I guess, my earlier point, like she just falls off the water and then somehow she just washes up. Like, did the current just take her down? Or I don't know how the whole kind of arrangement of that area is.
She said she said something about current washing her up there.
Right.
Real quick, the name was Natanya.
Oh, thanks. See, I have stuff printed out. I just don't. Just I'm not reading it.
Good job.
Sometimes we're not always stupid guys.
No.
We do the heavy lifting when we need to. Yeah, Natanya. That's right.
Natanya died.
So, the one thing I didn't get any more information on was exactly where they were kind of located at. There was a map kind of on that Cindy was looking at one point, and I wanted to kind of go back and just kind of look at that map. But I was like, yeah, I don't think it's really going to tell us anything.
I've never been butted in by a rifle, but would it leave a bigger mark if you got hit in the head?
I feel like it would leave a bruise for a couple of days. Yeah. I mean, your teeth might hurt, your jaw might hurt.
I mean, she had a Band-Aid going all the way across here, and it was a tiny little cut top of her forehead. I'm like going, I just think your head would, I mean, you get hit in the head, it swells up, it bruises easy.
I did like the confrontation between those two. And kind of how it played out. Glad that they didn't end up dying. Trivia. Tara's pistol is shown to have Negan's bat, Lucille, carved into it, and it was taken from the satellite outpost, so, which I thought was another.
But she loses it, right? She loses it to the group, right?
Yeah, I thought she lost it when she was in that fight.
Well, that's right. The bridge. She did, yeah, she did. All right, she did lose it.
So maybe when they came back to get, you know, or maybe when she shoots it, somehow Negan's group knows.
There you go.
Like, oh, that's I'm getting really crackpotty now.
Has a sensor on a sensor tracking device. Why did Tara pull the bag? It was in the sand.
Well, they're scavenging, right?
I know, but what's in the bag? Because he said, don't, and she does it anyway.
Well, I think he was more concerned that it was going to give way to all of the sand.
Right. Well, he realized when he saw the bullet casings.
Casings, yeah.
That there was probably dead people in the sand.
Right.
But Tara was like, oh my God, this might be roller skates. Two pairs of roller skates.
Hey, Heath, we can get a lot faster on these. Yeah.
I can bring him home to my girlfriend Denise, and we can go roller skating. Too soon.
Well, it was the cool set piece, the sand zombies, right? Yeah. Like that was the set piece. I don't know. It was just something new. I mean, how they come up with these creative things day in and day out. I mean, you know.
And they said that was a callback. Like, hey, like they made like a like a Walking Dead movie, like after. Dawn of the Dead, like in the 70s, like Italian movie.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
That's what they said on The Talking Dead.
I didn't know that was Elvira. Oh.
Do they ever change Elvira? That's always been the same Elvira?
It's so same Elvira. It's always. I think there's only been one. It's not like Lassie.
I don't know if they keep like reintroducing like Elviras.
They cloned her in the 70s, and they just keep.
No, it's just the same Elvira.
It's the CGI. It's amazing what they can do. Anyway, one last note. Heath, when at the beginning when Tara and Heath are talking, he mentions the rule number one of scavenging. There's nothing left in the world that isn't hidden. We just have to find it. That was a quote by Glenn. Len. See how soon we forget. And anyway, Glenn told Tara that back in Strangers. So let's call out to Glenn there.
If you see my sunshine. by Len. Look it up. Classic 1997 song.
I'll look it up there for you, Mike.
I will put that on Twitter tonight.
Let me write that down.
And you can also look up that other song that Everything Is F'd by the Dirty Three. So please near the end of the
Dirty Three?
The episode. Yeah.
And this show
is I don't
Sports Talk with Three Dirty Guys.
Another song Jack is gonna look up.
Well, that's all I've got. I think we've kind of covered most of it, right?
Yeah. We do have a phone we have a phone call if you guys want to listen to the phone call.
Oh.
Hell yeah. Let's
listen to the phone call.
We don't get many phone calls, so
second
and this one this one came before the episode.
Okay.
Hopefully they asked for me to say Carl.
For the Westworld podcast, the Walking Dead podcast. Sorry, this is John in Houston. There are a lot of characters and a lot of storylines this year. The problem that's got me the most disturbed is that they've got four separate locations, and the characters are really not intermingling much at all. We've got Sanctuary, which is Negan's camp, of course Alexandria, Hilltop, and the Kingdom. And they're kind of all the same except for the Sanctuary, of course. And yet, we have certain people at each one, and it's kind of fractioning the group, both the original group, Negan's group, and some of the newer groups. I really wish they'd kind of bring it all together really soon. That's all I got. Bye.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to point out that it was before the episode, because now we have another group.
We do. We have a fifth to add to John's list. Thanks, yeah, so John, for that call.
Yeah, thanks, John. So now John's going to be really upset because now we have a fifth one.
Right. I mean, to kind of what he was pointing out. Yes, there are a lot, but I don't know if we're ever going to get to a point where they're all back together. I don't know. I just kind of can, I guess when Jesus said to them way back in last season, like, your world's about ready to get a lot larger, I kind of just accept the fact that we're going to deal with all of these different civilizations coexisting and eventually, I guess, getting to a point where they unite.
Well, but the problem is, you see, each one of these groups is different. Like the new group, mm-hmm. they kill you on sight. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, right. Tara got lucky that she wasn't killed right away. Well, because they're bad aim, mm-hmm. but they, like you said, we learned from Rachel that she just, that you're supposed to kill. That's what you're supposed to right. do. You're an outsider. We kill you. You have the mm-hmm. Hilltop people. They took not the Hilltop, the Kingdom. They took Morgan and Carol in.
Right.
You have the Hilltop people. But, I can't really figure them out.
Yeah, run by King Joffrey.
Yeah.
King Gregory.
King Gregory. But so. It just seems that how these groups are all going to come together when they're all completely different.
Well, I just think it's like you're focused on each group like individually, and then you'll eventually see them all join up to fight against Negan, Game of Thrones style.
Game of Thrones style.
Against King Joffrey, as Matt would say.
But how are they going to fight together? I mean,
with the guns from this.
Well, I get it. I get it. But if they are all different in their beliefs, how are they going to fight?
It'll be like Game of Thrones. You have like giants. You have like.
Would it be easier to just get on a bus and just drive away?
But I saw from the Alexander group, they tried to drive away and they couldn't get out of there.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. And all the roads blocked up.
Yeah,
that's true. Except and maybe they learned that from that other group. Right? So we learned in this group, they had ran away from Negan's group. They got away.
Right.
Somehow they got away. They took everything that they could on their backs, and that was it.
Saying Negan has learned that's why you block all the roads. That's why you.
Right. Yeah. Like you keep them trapped, you keep them bottled, so that they can only go certain ways. And I think that somehow they're going to have, and I don't know how long it's going to take. It's not like they have cell phones or walkie talkies or they can visit with each other. We're talking about no form of communication? How do you get everybody on board?
They do have soup cans with string.
But Matt, it's not like they got that far away because like Tara was able to walk back to Alexandria. So
that's true. We just don't know how. She was gone for a long time, so we have no idea as far as how, like, what was the time period there that it took.
I'm saying, like, unless she's like a marathon runner, like, I can't imagine.
She said she likes to run,
but we saw she's like she's not the quickest of runners, not the most nimble.
she brought her humor to the episode, which sometimes fell a little flat.
I just want to say, I got a text message from somebody. It's like, I can't believe this actress got pregnant before this episode. She looks horrible trying to run. Now it's from
that's
a girl.
What Russ said?
No, that's from a girl.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay, I guess.
But that's probably what Russ would have said anyways.
I didn't mean to make that accusation on Russ's behalf, but glad that it was not Russ that said that. It was a woman, so we can all kind of, you know, we're three stupid guys, but we are not that dumb.
We might call them apes, but we would.
Jack not. Would, but I would not ever cross that line. So
anyway,
that being said, though, fist bump and out. Right?
Yeah. Well, when you know how to put this one in, do a fist bump. It's
you put your fist out and then somebody shakes it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it falls. We'll work.
We'll work on this.
It was a very Walt moment.
Now, going back to Tara staying there, if she knew Denise and Glenn were gone, would she have stayed?
Oh, man. Too bad cell phone technology.
She's got like a lot of other friends there, too, I think.
By the way, how does a matriarchal system where there's no men continue to grow? And population, if they are always killing anyone that they meet, they can never meet another man in order to keep their civilization populated or growing. It's just a hypothetical that I'm putting out there.
I don't know. I thought the same thing. I said, eventually you're going to run out of people, but I guess they don't care. Their job is just their own survival.
Just to survive. Yeah.
JSF.
So,
yep.
Hmm. Well, liked it, you know. I mean, it was there were a lot of, like, you know, Mike mentioned Lostian kind of aspects of it. Felt a little long, and you know, I guess I've come to accept that The Walking Dead is an episodic show that takes from the comic book, and the fact that it's more of an anthology, and that the fact that it's going to pick up on different little bits and pieces. And I'm sorry, John, but maybe we'll only have these unified moments where it's at the beginning of the season. And at the end, where we're getting to the finale, and we're just going to have to accept that the soft middle part is the Oreo, you know, it's the little, you know, white, you know, sweet stuff in the middle. Maybe it doesn't taste that great. Maybe it tastes like watermelon.
It's the three soup guys, so the Jay and Jack network.
I will say my favorite part, though, is when Tara comes back to Alexandria and she sees the Statue of Liberty buried in the sand by the beach. That was my favorite part.
I agree with you, Jack, about that being a better
ending. They did it! No, they did it! Or whatever he says.
You destroyed Denise! And she drops the little statue of the doctor.
Oh, we forgot about that part where she brings a little statue, that little bobblehead. Yeah, this reminds me of my girlfriend. Yes. Yeah, well, you know what? Take the head off because she's gone.
Just stab it with a pencil and look about the same.
Right about the eye, right?
Yeah. Nope, further to the left. Okay, anyway.
Now, if she was, when she was talking to Rosita, if she knew who Rosita really wants to kill, was the guy that killed Denise, would she be more apt to want to go kill that guy? And maybe not honor the swearing. The swear.
I guess the implication was there when she said this will make it even with who she lost. I think the implication that she was trying to play off of those emotions, and she didn't bite.
She didn't bite. Okay. All right. Well, she didn't really care too much for her girlfriend then.
Yeah. Well, she knows of a whole other civilization full of women. So yeah.
Who want to kill her?
True.
How are you going to?
First meetings are always kind of like that.
Unless
sometimes.
You get rid of Rachel, how do you sleep at night?
Right.
You wake up and Rachel's standing over you with a stick.
Ugh, yeah.
Anyway,
I guess.
Are we done with?
Who wants to eat?
Go ahead.
Who wants to eat fish? Right.
Well, we like our fish.
All right. Stick a fork in this fish.
We're done. But at this time, I'd like to thank if you want to become a patron,
special patron.
Yeah, you can go to patreon.com/jayandjack or just go to jayandjack.com. Little button says become a patron. We'd like to thank the producer, Eckhart Rickner Glavelder. He's now moved up to producer level.
Wow.
We also have Tack from Tokyo, Brad from Chicago, and good golly, Miss Molly. Thanks for helping us out. Also, if you're an Amazon shopper, and who isn't? My wife is always on Amazon. Go to Jay and Jack. You can make it the homepage. It's an Amazon thing. Make it the homepage, and every little bit you buy helps keep this show and your great Planet of the Apes comparisons in business. And
Sort of.
Now, moving on along to the show that everybody wants. And I'm not talking about Dancing with the Stars. I'm talking about Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys. Is Russ joining us?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Ramblecast.
Oh, no.
I texted Russ. Who knows if he'll answer his text.
Okay. Well, he didn't answer, so we'll just move on to Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys.
Like you expected.
Yes.
And we contain all of the creamy goodness that The Walking Dead has to offer, except with the crunchy outer shell named tacos, specifically Jack-in-the-Box tacos.
Jack-in-the-Box tacos.
A Jack-in-the-Box taco actually will have that crispy, crunchy outside shell, but a little bit of squishy kind of warm goodness in the middle. So
those do sound good right now.
Also, Jack-in-the-Box, if you want to sponsor us, we've mentioned you on about 80 podcasts now.
And I know people that have gone to Jack in the Box just because they've listened to this show.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
And one of the stupid guys you could pay in food coupons.
I've avoided Jack in the Box tacos because of this podcast, because of what happened to that after some episodes.
Do you have Jack in the Box in Miami, right?
Nope.
No.
Only when I visit Texas, I see Jack in the Box.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they have tons of Jack in the Boxes in Texas.
Probably don't serve a lot of tacos down in Miami. I'm just guessing by the location.
There's not many Nashville down here in Miami.
It's a very drab town. It's like
nobody was celebrating the Fidel Castro dying this weekend. No, not at all.
Wow, they were celebrating, huh?
Dude, they were banging pots and pans.
So
it was like we won the Super Bowl.
Wow. So Colin Kaepernick comes up again in our headlines because apparently he can't stay out of the limelight, I guess. But
he went against in town. Well, I know where you're going with this. He went against Castro, and he was tackled by a Cuban-born player.
And, wow.
Kiki
Alonso.
Yeah.
Well, so, 2 yards short.
Well, don't go to Miami when Castro's died wearing it and saying, "All right, go Castro." He's wearing a Castro shirt. I mean, and it wasn't motor oil. So,
what do you expect from a person that doesn't vote, though?
That's true.
So, I don't know. We don't really get very political, but I saw
Twitter people were very happy that Castro died. Nice. I said, if they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hot topic down here.
It's a hot topic, like in what way? Just give us a thermometer reading, Miami Mike. What's it like down there?
I would say the broadcast is number one, Merry Man podcast number two, and then Fidel Castro dying is number three of the hot topics that people are talking about.
Wow.
Well, because someone was talking to me about it today, and I said, look, I go, when people are willing to get on and take their whole family on makeshift rafts and travel 90 miles on this.
With sharks surrounding you.
Surrounding you.
You might die.
To get away from this guy,
right,
you have to respect the fact that they're happy he died. I mean, I'm not to get too political, but
sure. No, I think it's not like we have to dance on his grave or anything. We're just saying, hey, you know, like,
I mean, I'm not going to criticize those people for being happy that he died. I mean,
and I'm not going to be one of those people that says there is a correlation or there isn't a correlation to Trump being elected and then Fidel Castro dying, but I've seen the memes. It's out there. They might be related.
You see the one that said Fidel Castro tweeted, he goes, I have evidence on Hillary Clinton that can convict her.
I have not seen that one. So you can't make this stuff up. No, it's so... But you can. Actually, people do.
Anyway, speaking of sports.
And the real reason why we're here, sports. And the one game that we know everybody watched, and the guy whose team isn't even here to talk about, is the Kansas City game that I know all three of us at least watched the end.
Well, you guys were tweeting, texting back and forth, and I go, "What are they?" I go,
"Because it was actually an entertaining game on Sunday night."
So I went on my computer and downloaded. I got the NBC app and went, and I just got on just after the controversial touchdown.
So what do you think, Jack?
Well, I just saw
being a hockey ref. What do you think as a ref?
Well, I don't think I think he was down before he crossed the line, right? Before he crossed the plane of the goal.
His knee was down, but he didn't finally catch the ball until he was like across the goal line. It's from what I saw, but I'm not a hockey ref.
Well, I was just going by Denver fans I follow on Twitter and Facebook who are posting the picture. Goal line, ball, thanks, knee.
Right.
It was several people. I go, well, from that angle, it almost looks like, I don't want to bring it up, 4th and 29, where Ray Rice still did not. He only went 27 and a half yards. But,
well, I guess when you're in Denver, the calls can't always go your way.
No, they've got enough calls their way that they could just stop. Because when you guys were saying it, I assumed the way you guys were talking that the call went Denver's way.
Well, okay, so just to back up a little bit for those listening that may not have watched the Kansas City Denver game, because you know it's Sunday night, Westworld's on. There's other things to do. Maybe you're traveling, but it was pretty amazing that Kansas City came back. They needed a touchdown and a two-point conversion. To win to just tie it. And I'd say the fourth quarter was probably the most exciting quarter of the game, because the first half was pretty much just a defensive slugfest that Collinsworth was just going ape Planet of the Apes over. He was, and he actually at one point he was like, I just wish this game would go into overtime, and I swear he paid off the refs just to get it to go into overtime. But the play that happened is so they're driving, Kansas City's driving there. And yes, he's right close to the goal line. The knee goes down, and he gets touched.
About like 15 seconds left.
You right, there's like 15 seconds.
Kansas City to do a short pass like they always do, because like Alex Smith can't throw over like 5 yards.
Right, and there's no timeouts, right?
Right.
There's no timeouts left for Kansas City, but here's the thing. The refs immediately don't call it a touchdown, and Kansas City thinks that it's a touchdown. Meanwhile, the clock is running. They realize that it's not a touchdown. They're trying to get up to the line to just spike the ball so they can still have one more play left, because the clock is running at this point. And then meanwhile,
Denver fans are counting down the clock. 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, it got to 5. Yeah, and then the refs come in and they're like, the previous play is under review. Which, yes, for all intents and purposes, it should have been under review.
Right.
And they should have stopped that play there. So initially, the call on the field was going Denver's way because they weren't calling it. They were just letting the clock ride. And that, with as close as it was, they should – yeah, there is no timeouts. Nobody's taking a timeout. The refs have to take the timeout. Is that the correct way to go about it?
Right. After the last 2 minutes, it's upstairs. So right. if they feel it's going to – they stop the clock, but there should be some communication.
Right. So even if they reversed the call and said, okay, that wasn't it, then they would put, 5 seconds left on the clock and then start play again?
I think it's no. I think it's a timeout because there's times that where I've been watching the game and it's like if your team's got the ball and you're running, it's like no, don't. What did we challenge? I don't care.
Right.
You have the ball, but they're going to review the play to see. No, go ahead. Just keep the clock running. But it just
well. They did review it, then they overturned it, turned into a touchdown. Kansas, and here's the thing, Denver, you know, they still needed that 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
And they got it, and they tied it. And here's the thing, it's in overtime, and it's Denver's ball. They drive down, they get their field goal. Kansas City has their chance. They equalize with a field goal, correct? Mm-hmm. And then it's Denver's ball again. And they can't get it down the field.
Well, here comes the most controversial part of the game, coaching-wise. Kubiak decides right. He wants to kick a 62-yard field goal.
Yep.
And I'm like going, if you mess this field goal, the ball isn't where the it's where you kick the – it's 7 yards.
Basically, like on the 50-yard line. Like
yeah. So you're
– they said 48-yard line. 48-yard line.
So it's not where the ball's at. It's line of scrimmage, it's where you kick it from. So 7 yards back. That's where they get the ball. Wouldn't they have been better off? They didn't want to play for a tie.
Right.
Well, a loss is worse than a tie. I don't care what you say. A loss is worse than a tie.
Yeah.
So why not just go for it on 4th and 10?
Yeah, but Kubiak was listening to our text messages. And he saw, I was like, I don't want to see another tie. Even though Matt was so excited for another tie. Kubiak was like, all right, screw it all.
Well, that's
I'm going for the win.
Never listen to three stupid guys, but here, if you got a chance, maybe get the first down. If not, maybe you gain 5 yards. So now, but you gave them an extra 7 yards.
Yeah.
With a minute 3 left. I said, in Denver.
I don't understand why you don't try to, you know, call another timeout, go over your trick playbook or whatever, come up with something where you're going to punt it downfield and try to recover it. You know, I mean, you know, even a punt to say, okay, we're going for the tie, but we're going to also try to recover it downfield on special teams.
That
and just put it on your.
I mean, I know it's in Denver, but a 62-yard field goal. It's cold outside. It's night. It's a night.
They said the wind died down. There was no wind at all.
Yeah, I just said it's. I would have gone. It first, I would have punted. Second, I said, okay, my second decision would have been. All right, let's go for it. Fourth down. Maybe you draw them off sides, get 5 yards. Maybe you draw them off sides. So now it's 4th and 5. The last thing I'm doing is going to kick a field goal. Because a loss is worse than a tie.
Well, and they lost.
Maybe Kubiak's thinking, I already won the Super Bowl last year. I got my ring.
Let these guys have a chance. They're nice. They're a nice team.
I didn't
get anyway, it was... It was an exciting game, needless to say. It was nice to have Sunday night football back.
Now, you've heard the NFL is talking about eliminating Thursday night games.
Yes.
I think they should.
I almost messaged you guys this at some point because I saw that headline and I was like, what? Can our wish finally be coming true?
I mean, the players don't like them. There's too much football on. You got college footballs on, Tuesday, Wednesday. You got Thursday night football. You got Friday night football. You got Saturday football, Sunday football, Monday night football. There's too much football.
I agree, but circulate, I don't mind having football on Thursday. I just like – I wouldn't mind if like Jacksonville, like Tennessee weren't playing on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll – I don't know. I hope that they go the route of not having it. I think that more people will tune in on that Monday night game too.
Plus,
it's
too hard for these players to come back. I never got it. You come back, you play on a Sunday, and then you got to play 4 days later.
Right.
It's too hard. I mean, especially as the season goes on. Especially if you're the Chargers and you have 35 people injured every game, you have nobody left.
Or like you're the Colts and like Andrew Luck has to sit out the whole time and then like you don't get him on your Thanksgiving day.
That cost you guys a chance of the game because he couldn't – there's no way he could pass protocol because he had a concussion.
Right.
Fine because it takes so many days to pass the protocol.
Yeah, he couldn't have passed it. He couldn't have played in the Thanksgiving game. And I will say this about you know, Tolzien, he took them down the field twice, got them to fourth and goal, and didn't get in. And that was the game. And it was crushing to watch as a fan watching that, the Colts just making the drive all the way down there and not getting it and then doing it again.
I will always.
I was just going to say that the defense, the Colts defense stepped up and held them at 21 for quite a while there.
Yeah.
And they had a chance to equalize it. They couldn't deliver on both times. And then finally it all fell apart for Tolzien in the end with those two picks. So.
The funny thing about him is he was an undrafted free agent and he was signed by the Chargers. And he had pretty good preseason.
Chargered reference right here.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just funny because every time he plays, because people on the Charger message board were furious that he was let go, that he wasn't retained, that he wasn't signed. And so everyone always refers to him as future Hall of Famer. That's how they say future Hall of Famer. And when he was starting for the Colts on the Charger message board, there was its own. He had his own thread, future Hall of Famer. You didn't even have to click on the thing to know who the person was talking about. Because, I go, oh, that's right, he's starting this week, so that's why they put him on there. People were pissed that he was let go. He was going to be the heir apparent. He was going to take over for Philip Rivers. Why would you get this guy go? He has too much talent, and yet the guy is still.
Come on now. Rivers didn't retire until he's like what, 2018, 2019?
I don't know. People, that's
Rivers is playing forever.
But that's what people's mentality is. They see this guy, oh, my God, they let him go. Oh, my God, I mean, people are seriously, I'm giving up my season tickets.
Wow. Really?
Over that. I just want to bring out the game that I had for the upset. Chicago Bears, Matt Barkley, threw the pass in the end zone, hit the guy right in the middle of his chest. Last second, and he dropped the ball.
So you had the upset, but you didn't win?
All three of you guys would have lost it.
I thought you had Kansas City as well as Miami or San Diego.
I was trying to go perfect for my upset. So.
Oh yeah, that would have been perfect. Yeah, if you had the Chicago. Now that I'm looking at it, that would have been perfect.
An interesting stat: this season, there's been 4 successful onside kicks. Two have been
San Diego has had all 4.
Two have been against the Chargers.
Wow.
Watching
of course,
game.
Of course, it has to be a San Diego reference.
Well, it has to be because I'm watching the game and I'm like going, okay, the Chargers are up 21-10 with 28 seconds left. Houston kicks a field goal, makes it. Okay, they got to go for the onside kick. It wasn't even close. I go, are we just letting him kick the ball? Are we just getting out of the way because you don't want to get hurt? Ball bounced. It just went.
I go. They're just watching it bounce by them. Hey, look at the ball. Huh.
Okay, can we say Brock Osweiler, worst free agent signing of the past off season? I think if we go back and check the tapes, I think I said this guy's terrible. I would not sign him. I saw him enough with Denver, and I said the only reason he won is because their defense.
If you remember, what I kept referring to him as Oswald.
Yeah,
like about him getting Oswald. So,
but you guys have been picking him in the last few weeks.
Well, yeah, because what do I know? But he's terrible. He had one interception. I swear to God, I don't know who he's. I mean, the Charger guy was just standing there. There was no one. There was no receiver around him. Guy's 6'8". Who's getting in his way? How can he not see the field at 6'8"? That's a big quarterback.
Yeah.
But Houston's stuck with this guy, at least for a couple seasons because they gave him a big contract. He's no Tannehill.
No, but we're trying to let Tannehill pass the ball. We just keep running the ball.
Keep running the ball.
But this had to be the first time in the podcast history where Jack and Russ picked against their teams,
and they won.
Yeah.
Somebody else picked their team for Thanksgiving because I was in a giving mood.
Yeah, it would have been awesome if you had done the trifecta and picked Indy and I had picked against them. So, but que sera, sera. So, Mike, you moved up in the standings. Jack, what's our totals?
Matt's at 111, Russ at 109, Mike at 107 and Jack 104. Only seven. That's not bad.
Not bad. We're pretty close there.
It's pretty tight.
It is.
You guys can keep listening to this podcast. Don't delete us once The Walking Dead ends.
Yeah, because I guess once The Walking Dead ends, we're going to go back to doing the old format?
We'll go back to Sports Talk, yep. Okay. So we'll be on the Sports Talk.
We're going
to
finish out this season.
We'll go back to our charity podcast.
Yeah, we're not quitters on this thing.
Nope. Besides Russ.
Besides Russ, yeah. Well, the first game is Dallas versus Minnesota, and only one person went with Minnesota. I did.
Huh.
And only because I'm in last place and I need a break. So
I thought because you hated Sporty Becky.
No, but besides that.
Okay. It's just getting all your grievances out at once. Like
again, it goes back to like when I picked Washington last week because I knew everyone would pick Dallas. They got to lose sometime. I mean, that Dak.
They do.
Dak Prescott is a pretty amazing player.
The one time they lose, you will rub it in Becky's face so bad. You're like, I picked against your team. I'm going to rub it in your face so badly.
Well, it'll be like salt and lemon juice.
You know, it's funny. You watch every time Dak Prescott does something really – does a great play, you see Tony Romo sound like it.
Yeah. Not cool. Not cool, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, that's great. I'm Tony Romo. I used to play for this team. Thanks.
Yeah. So where do you think Romo's going to end up? You think he's
Gary Jones' son.
But the only thing I can't stand, and I keep saying this every week, does every touchdown do we have to see Jerry Jones celebrating in his big box every touchdown?
Yeah, right. Sure.
Fake high fives.
Thanks, Caesar Augustus.
Every play, every time. That's why I root against them to score. I don't want them to score. I don't want to see Jerry Jones.
Unless George W. Bush is in that press box with him, I don't want to see it.
No, I don't want to see plastic face Jerry Jones.
So wait, Matt, you only watch Cowboys games for W?
Yeah, pretty much. Like whenever W shows up for a Cowboys game, I'm like,
yes. There he is.
If you want to see him, you got to look at Ranger baseball games.
Oh, does he go?
He's still a part of the team.
That's right. That makes sense. I imagine that he is working on a portrait painting. Jerry Jones
could be so. Just make it plastic.
He's been Bush has in his retirement been quite the painter. So
what do you think of it? What do you think of his artwork?
As an artist,
what do you think of his work?
I find it really annoying. I find it so frustratingly annoying. You don't
is it,
know.
Is it just bad? Is that what you think?
No, actually there's some things that I actually do.
Is it the fact that he's got numbers, he's painting by numbers? Do they still have that? They still have paint by numbers? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, no, I know what you're talking about. I was just trying to put it into perspective. Like imagine someone that might not be your favorite political person ever. Like and all of a sudden they decided, hey, I'm going to pick up hockey. And then like that became their thing as they became a hockey ref.
Well, but the thing is, if you're, I don't care if they're a ref. I can't. But if they're say Obama, President Obama wants to become a hockey player. Now, when he's on the ice, is he out there with Secret Service? Is he out there with Secret Service guys? And if you go to check him, you get shot? Because he still has his Secret Service guys. He's,
right. I don't know. That'd be interesting.
Say Bill Clinton's on the hockey. Mm-hmm.
What if it's Bill Clinton versus Obama in a hockey match off?
Yeah.
Right. Winner takes all.
Winner takes all.
So, yeah. Hillary's the goalie. So she's got the hockey mask on. Michelle's playing goalie for Obama.
Yeah.
So. I think Obama wins with just Michelle being
I think the problem with Bill Clinton, you couldn't get him out of the locker room if there was women in there. I think that's the only problem.
I thought this was not a sport.
Especially their cigars.
I was the one that brought up Bush. Sorry. I don't know why. I derailed the whole thing. I'm picking Dallas.
When you liked Bush.
Now that Castro's gone, I mean, maybe Clinton can use Cuban cigars. Those would be better.
Right,
because there's no embargo now, right?
Come on, Matt. Nobody's got to the sports talk podcast part of the podcast.
You mean it's just we can just say whatever we want in this
exactly
part.
It doesn't matter.
We're just talking to ourselves right now.
All right. Well, next in that case, I do really like imagining this presidential hockey face off. And where does the security, Secret Service, where are they?
I mean, I'd be afraid to get too close because they'd shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the stick is a weapon. I mean,
my favorite hockey player has to be Alfred E. Newman. So. You can tell he plays hockey by his teeth. So,
do you know his famous line? That was a trivia question to tell you, trivia.
What, me? Worry?
No, you got it. Why are you my teammate tonight? I already got like 9 points.
Oh, man. Apparently, there's some other trivia game thing that Tim and Colleen want me to implement on our show. So
I thought the same song was grabbed by the.
That is not Alfred E. Newman's most famous line.
It wasn't?
Nope. That's what you answered, though, right?
My bad.
Sounds like a perfect setup there. So.
So the next game. Kansas City, Atlanta. We all have Atlanta. Russ took Kansas City. And I'm just assuming you took Kansas City because he's a Chiefs fan.
He likes Chiefs fans.
Next is D-Town, New Orleans. We all took New Orleans. Rams, New England. We all took the Rams. We all took New England. They're favored by 14. We all took New England plus 14 or minus 14. Right?
We don't believe in L.A.
No.
They're not going to win this. They're going to lose bad. The Sunshine Boys are going to bleed. Sorry.
Denver versus the Jags. I have the Jags. You three have Denver. I'm taking the Jags just because I got to catch up.
How much I have to bump.
You're taking Jacksonville?
Yeah.
What?
Because they started with Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Sure. This is one less letter.
Yeah.
Jack.
Jagoffs.
Hey, so does your son is actually... So Jay is actually Jackson. He actually, where he lives is Jacksonville in a weird way. It's like son of Jack, and this is his village. So Jay's house is Jacksonville.
Well, it's more like Raleigh, but...
Yeah.
It's a long bow. No, just Jay's house. He could call it his village. He could set up little snowmen and a little, train village on his, Christmas ornaments and stuff like that. That would be his village. He could call it... Son of Jackville.
This would be a good Twitter poll, though. Would you ever want to live in Jacksonville, Florida? It's all our Twitter followers.
They're longbows.
I've been there.
Everybody's been there, but nobody wants to stay there.
That was all right. I mean, it was all right.
It's a port town, right? Yeah. Nobody lays their anchor down.
I did find someone from The Walking Dead laying on the beach. And I don't want to confirm nor deny. I'd put a stick to their head, but
whoa!
I thought they were a bobber.
What'd you do, Shandy?
No,
so hard.
Now, what would happen though if you did try to, maybe poke Carl?
Well, my luck, I'd hit him where there's no eyeball anymore.
Right.
So I'd just be wasting my time.
I think you'd run across like Rick. Rick would show up like, Carl, get out of the way.
There's a bobber. That's all we were waiting for. This is the appearance of the Carl.
Shout out to the Facebook listener. I can't remember his name. That Matt knows.
Apparently, that's our hashtag. Is hashtag Carl.
Carl.
Hashtag Carl. Cars.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Houston versus Green Bay with Brock Osweiler, quarterback. Green Bay, clean sweep.
Surprising, considering how bad they've been, but we all picked Green Bay.
And they won tonight, though. But next up, we have Philly, Cincinnati. Only one person took Cincinnati, and it was Mike.
Hmm.
Does Marvin Lewis keep his job? That's the question.
This seems like a winnable game, right, Mike?
I think that's a good pick for Mike.
Stall a little more, because I got some research here.
Okay, well, Philly's favored by 2.5. I really know nothing about... these two teams. I think Philly could definitely lose this. Cincinnati just came off that loss against Baltimore. They're kind of in the hunt. I mean, you know, this was a team that like had this division, right? Like last year, like Cincinnati kind of owned it, and they've laid off on the reins.
I think I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
You did, because they were good yet last year, right? But they clearly let the foot off the pedal. So
I have Arizona winning the Super Bowl. I have Cincinnati versus Arizona. I might as well quit now. Those two teams might not make the playoffs.
Right. It's true.
Well, Matt, yeah. you have Green Bay, New England. You got one there.
My thinking with the Philly-Cincinnati game was Philly's won four games, and all four wins have been at home. And this time they're going on road at Cincinnati. So even though Cincinnati lost AJ Green, I don't trust Philly on the road right now.
Fair argument. So I didn't know that stat. So,
well, if I would have known that ahead of time, I still would have picked Philadelphia.
Hashtag research.
Hashtag homework. Next up, we have Miami versus Baltimore, as well as Miami's been playing lately. We all went with Baltimore.
It's weird.
It's like Miami's due for a loss. They have a 6-game winning streak. The NFL is like most time you finish like even like 7-7, like 500.
Yeah, right. I watch Miami play, and I don't know how they're. I mean, they beat the Chargers a couple weeks ago, and I go, I don't know how they're doing this. But they're still in the hunt. They're playing. Yeah, right now they're in the playoffs, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're in the last playoff spot.
Yeah,
they just passed Denver with the Kansas City win.
Oh, huh. Well, that's interesting.
So why didn't you pick them?
Because they're due for a loss. Like, you can only win so much in the NFL. It's like, you can't go 16-0.
That's true.
They're not 16-0, though. They're 6-5, aren't they?
I know. Like, I'm saying they're due for a loss.
All right. Yeah, but so is Baltimore, right? I mean, come on.
They still have Flacco at quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But Baltimore is only on a 2-game win streak. Before that, they had a 3-game losing streak.
I think he threw like two interceptions last game too, is what I was. Maybe it was two TDs and one interception, but.
Well, never mind. Baltimore has won 3 out of 4.
Well, it is cold up there, so maybe that's a factor. But yeah, we all picked Baltimore, surprisingly.
Dolphins hate the cold. They're mammals.
They do it the cold, yes. Squish the fish. Next up, we have 49ers versus Chicago. I'm the only one that took Chicago. The rest of you took San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know Cutler's not playing, right?
I was picking San Francisco as my upset pick. Not that Russ cares about upset picks, but I do tend to like try to find a team that might surprise against the spread. And San Francisco's due for the win. It's kind of that Mike logic here where it's like they've been really bad. Chicago's not been great. Clearly, Mike saw more of that Chicago game, and he's lost faith in Chicago. I don't know. It's in Chicago. I don't know. I don't know why I'm picking San Francisco. Why are you picking Chicago, Jack?
I figured that was – I was shocked people were picking – I watched San Francisco. They're terrible.
Well, they're on
– I mean, so is Chicago.
San Francisco's on a 10-game losing streak, but Chicago's on – they've lost 6 out of 7. But San Francisco looked a little better with Colin Kaepernick. They've actually put up a fight like most like weeks. They've been like coming down to the end of the games.
Well, I have no.
But they're still losing.
But they're actually closer than Chicago. Even though Chicago should have won this past week, last second, with my upset pick that I had.
Hashtag still hurt.
Well, I'm hoping Chicago wins because it'll pay off for me.
But yeah, basically, you should avoid this game because like they're both losing teams. You should go out to picnic with your family. Go out to like get like tacos or like.
I hope they don't play this
anything. On my avoid this game, basically.
Yeah. So
they watch probably, Walking Dead. Listen to the Walking Dead podcast with
Drew. Like, you're Indianapolis. You're close enough to Chicago, so here you go. So
you could get that game.
I could.
Next up is the Bills versus Oakland, and Matt picked the Bills.
I did. This was my other upset. I think that the Bills are a lot better, and I think that Oakland is still going to fall. I think they're just – that Carr, he's not – he has flaws, and I think that Oakland thinks that they're better than what they are. So, I don't know.
Yeah, Oakland could lose every game they played. They could have lost every game they played.
True.
They could have lost, but right now they're tied with New England for their first place in the AFC.
And it kills me because I don't like the Raiders.
Right. Well, I'm picking against them this week.
And all their fans are celebrating. They think they're getting paroled, but they're still in jail. but you think the Bills can pull this out?
I do. And they've also had a longer week to work for this. So remember they had I think they did. Maybe they didn't.
No, they played
They played Oakland.
Oh, never mind. I don't know why I thought that stat came into play.
Oakland.
Never mind.
Okay.
Forget what I said.
Next up, the Giants versus Pittsburgh. None of us picked the Giants, even though they're playing pretty good ball right now.
Yep.
No? Washington at Arizona. Washington at Arizona.
Oh, no. Surprisingly, wait. Can I just mention, Giants have a 6-game winning streak right now.
I know. That's why I said they're playing pretty well. None of us picked the Giants.
It's in Pittsburgh. Nobody trusts Eli.
Okay. Next up, Washington at Arizona, and we all took Washington.
Yeah, go Warriors.
At Arizona.
I'm pretty upset.
Not one of us picked Arizona. In Arizona. A Super Bowl pick. By me.
I'm thinking we all think Carson Palmer is pretty much done right now.
Think so? Well, Matt had to leave.
He had a bathroom break.
He swore
they would never take a bathroom break.
The worst part is the next game is Tampa Bay versus San Diego, and he's the only one that took Tampa Bay.
So. No, but he swore like Tara that he would never go take a bathroom break.
Tara,
we can't believe him. Like,
yeah,
just like The Walking Dead, we know we're gonna come back to The Walking Dead with Matt going back to the bathroom.
Exactly. He did say sorry though. Who's in the chat? I don't have the chat. Who's in the chat?
We do have Becky.
Did she left?
Do you want to hear some of her comments right now?
Sure.
All right. Yes, Cowboys. Cowboys, 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 Cowboys. # NFL. Leader. Apostrophe. LOL. Hot Jack. LOL Mike. Mike. Thank the Lord we do not have wavy hand Philip Rivers. # fail. Cry me a river, Jack. LOL. Bush is a traitor. So is his grandfather helping Hitler.
I'm here.
I am here. Ha.
Oh, she's still here?
So I was in the chat room right now.
Oh, she's still, okay. She's still in the chat?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm going to have to tune in for that juicy bit that I missed.
Well, we had to stall because the next game is Tampa Bay versus San Diego, and you're the only one that took Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we didn't know you were going to take a bathroom break again.
You could have glossed over that. I know. I swore, and I broke
you my... swore. You swore like Tara.
So I was just reaching for something. I said, hey, who's in the chat? And
just like Tara, she's going to bail on her promise on the next show she's
that's,
on.
That's what Mike said.
Did he really?
So why are you picking Tampa Bay over San Diego? Go 3,000 miles. It's in San Diego. It's probably going to be cold weather.
Okay, Tampa Bay has been playing really tough, right? They just beat the Seahawks. That was an incredible win. And who did they play before that? It was another really good team.
They beat KC and they beat Chicago.
There you okay? The Chicago win's not a big deal, but KC and Seattle. I think I don't know. I don't know why I'm picking them. It's my other upset.
I mean, you know, so. I look at San Diego and they might get some more players back, but you know, Gates went. This was the first time in 77 games he didn't have a catch.
Wow!
I don't even think he had a ball thrown to him. In fact, I forgot he was even in the game.
I hope that they you know, I hope your team wins, but I'm picking Tampa Bay. So because
it's one of these times that are now okay. You have an outside shot at the playoffs, but do you make a run for the playoffs or do you say, you know, we could use another Joey Bosa? He's the real deal. I mean, that you watch this guy play. Would it be better to sit out
all preseason and make Jack frustrated?
To make what?
Make Jack frustrated all preseason.
With the
I can't believe this guy's not playing. I can't believe he didn't sign his contract.
Hey, look, how many games would they have won if he would have played? He's going to be a hall. He's Hall of Famer in the making. He's like what's his name? Who were we talking about earlier?
Andrew.
Oh, Tolzan or whatever his name is.
Oh, Tolzien.
Tolzien.
Yeah,
he's a great player. I mean, he's fantastic. But you know, the Chargers got to get a new stadium, so don't sign your first round pick. Carolina versus Seattle, clean sweep. Next up, we have the Jets versus the Colts. I'm the only one that took the Jets.
And the Colts are not a big favorite. They're only favored by one.
And this has nothing to do with you picking Tampa Bay. But after I saw you pick Tampa Bay over my Chargers, screw you, I'm taking the Jets.
It's a safer bet than me taking Tampa Bay over San Diego.
Maybe. I don't know why I took the Jets. They should have beat New England.
They were close, but then they just gave it away.
Yeah.
So,
who's Fitzpatrick playing for next year? Who do you think?
Who's Romo playing for next year?
Someone mentioned Denver. I don't think he's going to go. Huh?
Who cares?
Where Romo's going to play?
Right.
Who cares about Fitzpatrick? Who cares about Romo?
Who was the last quarterback to win a game for Cleveland?
Oh, that's a
Johnny Football.
Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel.
Huh. Wow.
Was the last quarterback to get a win for Cleveland.
That's weird. Well,
guy's not even football anymore.
Yeah, maybe it'll be another Cowboy veteran that ends up.
There you go.
Or not Cowboy, but I should say a Texan veteran.
Does Romo go to Cleveland?
That's where good quarterbacks – well, I guess we couldn't really call him a good quarterback. But that's where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah.
I mean, was he
– Or does he go, does he go to Arizona?
That'd be interesting. I've heard rumblings about that as well.
Yeah.
But you'd think that he would want to be in a different conference, perhaps.
I think he just wants to play. Is it?
Yeah, probably.
You know, he's over there sticking needles in the Dak Prescott doll.
He's like going down to New Orleans, like trying to get some voodoo witch doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Boy, wouldn't that be weird though if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl and Tony Romo gets a ring, but it's from a different quarterback?
Yeah.
That'd be awkward, right? Yeah. Wear that ring?
If he wouldn't have got hurt in preseason, he'd be playing.
It's true. All right.
Jack, who do you like better, Bosa on Chargers or Travis Mack on Ballers? Because aren't they basically the same person?
Same person. That's what people said, but I got to go with Bosa.
All right, because he actually showed up and got sacks.
Yeah, he's a difference maker. If you had another Bosa on the other side, that's what they need, another Bosa.
I don't know. Travis Mack has some like pretty good speed on the beach when he was like running like on the.
And he doesn't even look like an athlete.
And you know what he found on that beach? Bobbers.
Well, he was running. He would have beat the 40-yard dash, but tripped over Tara's head.
He definitely could have outran all of those bullets a lot faster than Tara.
Tying it all together. Walking Dead and Sports Talk HBO.
There you go.
If you tuned in this long, you got some gems at the end. That's the outer cookie crunch because the show is done.
Carl. And on that note, again, we'd like to thank the producer, Eckhart Richter-Glaffelter.
Wait, did we finish these picks?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we're done. Indy was the last one. That's the Monday night game.
Thank God.
Brad from Chicago, Tack from Tokyo, and good golly, Miss Molly. Thanks for doing what you do. And also, you can go if you're a shopper and you like to shop on Amazon. You know, you can get Cowboy stuff.
Lots of Cowboy stuff?
You can get America's Team stuff on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. Just go over there and order tons of Cowboy stuff on Amazon.com.
You can get lots of weird stuff on Amazon, too. You know, you want a car delivered to your house? Good luck.
Yeah. Can you get a car?
Karaoke cabinets, you know, stereo.
Roller skates.
Christmas lights.
Christmas lights.
You need another Christmas pig to add to your collection. I'm sure you get some piglets.
I forgot to talk about the Christmas pig.
Right.
Squatty potty.
This Christmas pig's not working.
Oh, it's not?
Nope. I was so bummed today because my wife is, well, put it back here. I go, you can't see it back here. So she's trying to push it further and further and further. She hates the Christmas pig. And I go to plug it in. I go, it's not working.
You know what? She assassinated the pig.
You think she sabotaged my pig?
Hey, we've all watched the Christmas Story, right? Like the mom was clearly at fault. She broke the leg.
Oh, she broke the leg on purpose, yeah.
And you know, this sounds like a similar thing. What I would do is, you know, get a gravestone if you can for the pig. You know, maybe there might be some at some Halloween stores still. Put Hamlet on it, right? You know, and bury the Christmas pig, you know, and put some little pink lights there, you know,
yeah,
around the little tombstone, you know.
I'm getting touched. I'm getting sad.
Forget that.
You like it? It's a good way to.
I think this is like Lord of the Flies. She might have killed Piggy.
I just so.
Oh my God.
I've had this pig for like 10 years.
I know.
And she hates it.
She like threw a rock on it or like.
I don't know.
From way above.
She goes, because I wanted to get it. There's another pig, a purple pig at Target. And I wanted to get it. And she says, no, we're not getting another pig. And then she goes today, if you want to go get that pig, you can. I go, it's probably already gone. You hated the pig.
We won't get that double oven we wanted.
I don't need your charity.
Yeah. Don't write for the purple pig, because then it's the double oven. Yeah.
I'm all caught up on the Merriman podcast, so I know all about the double oven.
Well, they recorded today without me, so I don't even know what they talked about today.
Sorry, well, Jack. If you enjoy podcasts like this, rate and review us. Join the Patreon, the Jay and Jack Patreon.
Yes. Thank you, Shani, for listening to this whole podcast.
Hashtag
Carl.
Carl.
All right. Great show, guys. One in a million. Thanks, Russ, for being here.
Bye.
See you next week.